You're listening to episode 45 of SIW Radio, the podcast series from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Our topic this week is ATM security, and we're going to hit on a variety of topics, including skimming, which is a new trend we've seen in recent years hitting ATMs. In fact, we reported on the site a couple weeks ago of an incident that hit a bank ATM in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, that targeted customers' debit and credit cards by stealing their information, and then the thieves ended up using those cards for $70,000 worth of illegitimate purchases. And this is not a unique case. In other news, there's been a report of three ATM skimming operations in Maryland, also Illinois, and Georgia that grabbed thieves $120,000. And these are hitting big banks in some cases. In one case, there was a Bank of America ATM in Maryland that was possibly taken for $30,000. So what we've seen is a real strong increase in these skimming attacks. And to speak about that, to speak with us today on that topic is John Pierce, the Marketing Director for Financial Banking and Government Channels with ADT Security Services. John also puts together an annual ADT Financial Security Symposium that brings together some of the leading banking security experts and bank security directors. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me today.
John, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how these skimming attacks work at the ATMs today.
Be happy to. A lot of what I'm going to speak about is not only from our experience in talking to banking customers who have been skimmed, but also our close relationship with at ADT with the U.S. Secret Service, who investigates cyber crimes and electronic crimes such as ATM skimming, who have provided us with a lot of their research data. It's an ingenious new form, relatively new form of electronic crime in which the bad guys are really after the financial data that's associated with the ATM, as well as, of course, the cash, as ATMs today and throughout North America in particular are the many, many points of service for financial institutions, whether they're credit unions, savings and loans, or banks. And this is where, as Willie Sutton used to say many, many years ago, I'm told, this is where the money is. Well, ATMs is not only where the money is, but it's also where the current assets are located. And in that, I also include the notion of the magstripe information that's so much a part of the financial data, the card. So what the bad guys are doing, and we can talk a little bit later about the kinds of profiles against the gangs that are perpetrating these crimes throughout North America, they're interested in securing the financial data that's a part of the transaction of the ATM, the card itself, which is both the magstripe as well as the customer's personal identification information. With those two pieces of data, they're able to now acquire for the replication of newly made false credit cards or just the sale of the data for nefarious purposes. It's all to get into the customer's account or the customer's, to assume the customer's identity. And the ways they do this, Jeff, are to insert over an ATM card reader slot a very realistic-looking electronic device that looks like it's part of original equipment to the ATM, into which the customer now inserts innocently their magstripe card, whether it's a debit card or a credit card, and that transaction is read by that electronic card reader skimmer device before the card actually goes into the machine for its accurate reading by the ATM machine. As the card pulls back out through the skimming device, which is just temporarily supported onto the machine, in many cases through double stick tape, the card is read again, where all the data from those transactions, and in a typical two-hour period of time, which is about the average length of the crime, there can be dozens and dozens of card transactions whose data are being read, downloaded through Bluetooth wireless technology to the bad guy's laptop, or later downloaded into the laptop at a remote site. And that's how, over a two-hour period, magstripe information is read by a skimming device that's just attached to the exterior of the ATM itself. The second form of reading data, it comes in the form of personal identification or PIN capture. That's often done by the bad guys through a wireless, portable, miniature mini camera that's positioned either in the ceiling above the vestibule or in some cases onto the ATM itself, and its purpose is to read your action on the entry of your PIN pad. There are also other forms of illegal devices that can be applied to the ATM, clear, paper-thin, plastic overlays on top of the PIN pad itself, in which every time you press your four digits, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's assigning that against a data capture, which combined with your card reader skimmer activity gives the bad guys, or through the camera, all the data they need to be able to walk away from that transaction and either come back to that ATM or another ATM, get into your debit account, or to sell the data online through, in many cases, through the internet for the fraudulent transactions of reproducing generic white plastic credit cards, which they resell over the internet, or to use that data to actually penetrate and go back into your account or other accounts and upload all that cash that might be in a high-worth individual's account. So it's a really nefarious crime. It's very difficult to it's very difficult for a financial institution to understand and to be able to document how it takes place and when it takes place. But it's exploding in terms of its proliferation of crime these days.
Clearly, and we're seeing so many more of these news stories every week. As the skimming is taking off. Now, this is not an amateur hour type of crime, it doesn't sound like. I mean, we're talking digital technologies?
Yes, it's very much digital technology. Many of these bad guys, and I don't want to over-classify a class of criminal, but there's a great deal of research from the Secret Service that points out that many of these are organized crime. Many of them come in the form of cyber gangs who originate from different parts of the globe. In many cases, it's reported that it's from Eastern Europe, where much of this technology has been developed. And it's even to the point, Jeff, where today you can go to an internet site and you can look up skimming devices and buy skimming devices on the internet for the purposes of repurposing them for illegal activities. There was one site that I saw in a recent Secret Service presentation, which was I think the site has since been shut down, atmskimmers.com, in which you could actually look up a shopping list of ATM models by purchase of and download into your shopping cart a specific skimmer for a specific ATM model, the purchase of miniature cameras for that purpose, all of which are legal purchases, but when produced and leveraged for illegal activities, really become a brazen approach to marketing for against ATM attacks. So it's pretty high-tech. High technology environment these days.
And John, this recently hit home with you, hasn't it?
It has in an indirect way. My wife, who is a professional, came back from a business trip 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, with her business card apparently having been skimmed because we were communicated. She received a communication from her financial institution, from its credit card division, which is a very contemporary new technique that banks are using, or financial institutions are using, I should say, when they see spikes in credit card activity or unusual behavior or use of the card. And in this case, these were two or three transactions for a high value in a non-business area. I think it was actually purchases from retail that had nothing to do with her business travels, which were in the low $1,000 capacity. So clearly, and they were done in Australia and in Europe, so clearly the credit card company showed that this was confirmed that this was not activity or transactions done by my wife with her business credit card. And apparently, I think she was skimmed in a POS terminal at a hotel where I presume a clerk who accepted her card for the hotel reservation probably had a skimming device in their pocket, in which they slid the card, the Magstripe card, through this device, which captured her Magstripe information, gave her the card back, and then sold that data from her card and other customers' transactions for other purposes, in which case the data was sold to try to secure an internet purchase 2 or 3 days later. This is typical of the kind of skimming approach using the internet.
And I think that's a great point, John. In fact, we had covered a story on the site recently where a McDonald's employee, I think also New Zealand or Australia, had skimmed cards, at their point of sale location. So this is not something that's limited to the ATM, the physical ATM.
No, it's really cyber penetration. You're exactly right, Jeff, and I've seen other examples. North American retailers in the fast food business, one of whose employee in Canada skimmed, I want to say, 250 sandwich customers over a 2-week period with their debit cards, and then resold those many, many hundreds of debit card data points to someone else who then would break into those accounts and try to secure the debit card assets out of the cash assets out of the debit card account. So it's very much prevalent. We're talking today about ATMs, of course, but it's prevalent at virtually many point of sale terminals, and increasingly we're going to see, I think, gasoline credit card activities at the petroleum outlets. But for right now, in North America, it's principally, according to the Secret Service, focused on ATM transactions.
But we may see an explosion. Well, let's talk a little bit now about how do banks protect themselves against this? I know that ADT has offered some anti-skimming services, but in general, what are companies doing to prevent this from happening to their customers?
Well, I think a key form of mitigation, of course, is just to be aware of the presence of the crime, which is a very, very difficult thing for financial institutions, whether you're in physical security for the operations or risk and compliance or ATM operations. This is such a moving, migrating crime that can be perpetrated against, it can be skimmed against your ATM, and then the crime can be conducted against someone else's ATM to get back to your customer's account in your institution. Best way to do it, in many cases, is education at the financial institution end, on the forward-looking edge, where you can begin to work with law enforcement, work with groups like ADT Security Services, who are producing information on the crime of skimming, so that you can present best tips and what to look out for in terms of how to look for the crime and how to recognize when you see something that doesn't look right at your ATM. There are several tips that financial institutions are starting to publish in their monthly statement stuffers to warn customers about the crimes of skimming at various ATMs. And there are over 250,000 U.S. managed ATMs managed by financial institutions in the U.S. So it's a very, very big marketplace. Some of these tips include looking for and testing the card readers that are in place on your ATMs. I know several people who will give that card reader a good yank just to understand is it a part of the original equipment or is it a replacement. Other tips include, of course, blocking off your cupping your hand over the entry of your PIN pad in case there is a a camera present that could look at it. Check your banking statements, your credit card statements on a regular basis. Make sure that your financial institution has a good quality program to alert you to any kinds of notices that take place with your credit card. But most importantly, we think, at least at the point of the crime, is the use of anti-skimming technology, which can be applied to ATMs to mitigate the crime from taking place in the first place. And that's a solution that we introduced about 6 months ago, which has been proven very effective at actually alerting and preventing, helping prevent the crime from taking place in the first place.
Well, let's obviously ATMs, you know, skimming has been the chief topic, but ATMs aren't immune to other types of attacks as well. And some of the ones that we've talked about, John, have been you know, smash and grab type operations where they may try to steal the ATMs,
yeah.
Robberies of customers, robberies of cash deliveries, and maybe even trying to rip into the ATM themselves. I wonder if you could kind of cover some of the common attacks on ATMs that are occurring today that are beyond the skimming.
Of course. I think what we have to recognize is that the ATMs as self-service locations are so prevalent, and they represent different assets to different either consumers or different bad guys. In the case of skimming and cyber crimes, they represent the capture of financial data at a very, very high value. And I'll just conclude that skimming portion by saying it's reported by the Secret Service in excess of $3 billion of annual losses from general ATM and POS skimming ventures. On the other flip side of that, back to your point, Jeff, there are many physical attacks and many physical factors that impact ATM networks as well. These are more; these are not as a high loss factor as skimming is, but they are certainly the headlines in the papers that financial institutions want to avoid in terms of the following. For example, there has been an increase in the last 3 years, according to the FBI, in terms of so-called smash-and-grab efforts with ATMs. This is a technique in which bad guys or gangs will raid a construction yard to steal a big rig of equipment, whether it's a backhoe or a similar type vehicle, and then drive that vehicle to a nearby ATM branch that they've no doubt already reviewed and inspected for an ATM that's on a remote island, let's say, and perhaps it's not lit as well as it should be. And perhaps they've also noted that there is no video surveillance associated with the location. That could be a factor. In about 3 or 4 minutes of time, they're taking these ATMs literally off the islands, wrenching them up, and dumping them into a accomplice's pickup truck, where in about 3 or 4 minutes they've done the crime and they've escaped with a stolen ATM, where they later break into the ATM, obviously for the cash cassettes and for the cash penetration of that. That's becoming an embarrassing and an expensive and a more frequent form of physical attack on ATMs. We are helping our banking customers at ADT by providing physical barriers that are being mounted and installed around the ATM and around the island, whether they are bollards or ballasts, stanchions that rise up above the ATM and literally create a I've seen some examples of some banking customers who are actually creating three-dimensional enclosures around the ATM mounted into the ground of steel, obviously so that a customer can still drive up to the ATM, conduct a transaction. But even those are susceptible to this kind of physical attack. Other attacks more prevalent in Europe than in North America include implosions of gas devices, which will literally blow up either the ATM itself or the ATM housing, if it's a remote lane ATM, with liquid gas explosions, also that the bad guys can get to the cassettes, which generally survive the explosion during the course of the incident. Those have not been nearly as prevalent in the U.S. and North America as they have in Europe, but I wouldn't doubt that in addition to a physical attack on an ATM, a smash and grab, that we'll start to see this other kind of influence take place as well.
John, what about robberies at ATMs, robberies of customers and attacks on the cash delivery services?
Of course, you know, as a point of cash, just as a branch teller station is a point of cash, there's a steady influence in terms of armed robberies or holdups with regard to ATMs or defrauding of ATM customers at the vestibule, particularly at the vestibule end, to a point where we have applied at ADT a number of solutions and a managed service in which we deploy on behalf of customers a combination of video surveillance in the ATM vestibule along with a custom monitored signal, in some cases actually producing through our banking monitoring teams for the channel and two-way audio-video connection to the bank to the ATM customer, in which we not only look in and listen in to the environment for a number of purposes, against crime, for safety issues, of course, but also for cleanliness issues, ensuring that the vestibule site is clean for good, consistent transactions, particularly in metropolitan downtown environments where heavy ATM usage requires that this is a good reflection of the brand of the banking institution itself, and it's a good, clean, hospitable environment. We'll often be engaged to present these look-in, listen-in capabilities for multiple to avoid multiple incidents of either crime or cleanliness or other safety issues.
Now, you know, generally on ATMs, you could probably be able to capture some video surveillance on these. Are they having to use special cameras for ATMs since they're outside, or is this standard video surveillance equipment that's being used?
If there is such a thing as standard, I would say we found that most of our video applications are traditional, either traditional video standards or IP-enabled technology, which now allows the financial institution to search through much more episodes and greater memory of digital images in much shorter periods of time from their laptops or from other common platforms, which is part of the benefit of IP-enabled. But yes, pretty traditional, typical video surveillance within a vestibule, looking down within the front door or the ATM itself. Of course, there are usually embedded ATM cameras within the ATM itself, which conduct and look at the transaction, but we often install and recommend the installation of environmental video, which is either IP-enabled or traditional digital camera work, black and white and color, for the actual environment itself. Here to get good quality images of users of the ATM, or in the case of this example, misusers of the ATM in the case of a violent attack, let's say, against or an armed robbery against an ATM customer.
And presumably for the smash and grab or the implosion types of attacks, these ATMs are armed as part of a bank's overall security and alarm system, right?
Yes. We recommend at ADT that wherever possible that our customers, and usually they insist upon, the customers insist upon a good integrated approach with regard to the ATM, whether it's intrusion detection, to the ATM itself, whether the ATM is stolen or whether the ATM is rocked or whether the ATM is penetrated in any way, shape, or form. The additional use of video surveillance, which can, of course, be sequenced against ATM transactions or certain types of transactions at the ATM, as well as we will shortly be introducing GPS and RFID technology that will be mounted in a part of the ATM interior in case that ATM is stolen or those cassettes are moved apart from the branch location. It's all about keeping tabs on the cash, keeping tabs on the customer transaction with regards to an ATM.
There's no doubt GPS would be wonderful for that. You know, just police should be, practically be able to drive right over to where the thieves are holed up counting their money.
Or actually, Jeff, noting where the location of the cash cassettes and the cash is at any in real-time form.
Okay. Or even for tracking of cash deliveries.
Or even tracking of cash deliveries. We're finding, speaking of which, you know, that's been a high crime factor in recent years, according to the FBI. The armored car carriers who do the good work of providing cash replenishment for financial institutions at ATMs, among armed bank robberies of the last 2 or 3 years, that's one of the highest categories, unfortunately, in terms of fatalities. There generally is more of a violence associated with cash replenishment because of that important moment of cash transfer. And unfortunately, many armored car carriers, I think in the scores, have been killed in the last 2 or 3 years of record keeping, where ADT is providing a series of solutions to our financial institution customers has to do with the use of managed video services, in which a video camera will be able to be turned on at the point of replenishment, specifically so we can note and watch the transfer of cash at that ATM from the truck, from the car, into the ATM and back into the car or truck, and provide a video escort to that, either the financial institution or on behalf of the financial institution with the armored car carrier, so we can have a video transaction that can also be communicated at the point of the ATM that this environment is under video surveillance. And those are proving to be effective uses of managed service from our monitoring centers and our banking operators who manage those monitoring centers on behalf of either the financial institution or the armored car carrier. But ultimately, we're there looking at the transaction of the cash at the ATM, which is really a vulnerable moment in that time of ATM replenishment.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the time when the most money is exposed, more than when somebody like me goes and gets $20 out.
That's right.
Well, John, thanks for coming on the program today to talk about ATM security at the broad level and about what banks are doing to secure these programs. We really appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity.
And I should mention one more thing before we wrap up this podcast episode of SIW Radio. On December 17th, Bridget Jimenez from SunTrust Bank in Atlanta, Georgia, is going to bring us a webinar program titled SEPTED Security for Banks. That's Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. And Bridget's program is going to discuss how banks are using environmental design elements, whether that's natural lighting or natural visibility, to aid security around bank locations. And as John mentioned, this can be a serious impact on the ATMs themselves. I mean, you make an ATM more visible, you're less likely to have some guy pull up in a pickup truck and try to run off with it. So join us for that program. You can get more information on that at securityinfowatch.com/webinars or look for promotions on our homepage, or if you're signed up for our e-newsletters, there will certainly be promotions there. That program will be archived, so if you're listening to this podcast after December 17, 2009, we will be archiving that, and you can go to securityinfowatch.com/webinars to download and stream the archive program there. Well, this wraps up episode 45 of SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com.